All right, Tavo, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Nun Tes. So we actually left off at the top of Nun Tes. So the Gemara says, "Vi ibay sema." So we'll say, if you remember again, we were speaking about the machlokis between Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva in terms of the order of the blood applications on the Ziyach. So if you refer to your handout from yesterday, so again, we saw this is pictures 140 and 141. We had the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Hopefully there were some extras lying around. If not, we'll share with somebody who's next to you. No.
At the bottom.
Bottom one. Maybe in back. Okay, if anybody needs. Okay, so we'll say again, our pictures 140, 141. We saw the machlokes Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva in terms of the order of the blood applications on the Mizbeach. Again, you had, excuse me, on the Mizbeach HaKitoris, on the inner golden Mizbeach. So if you remember again, we saw in picture 140 the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who has you starting from the southeast corner to the southwest corner, northwest corner, northeast corner. And Rabbi Yossi Haglili has just the opposite, northeast to southwest. So remember what the Gemara said yesterday, the place where Rabbi Akiva begins is where Rabbi Yossi Haglili ends, and the place where Rabbi Yossi Haglili begins is where Rabbi Akiva ends. And we pointed out yesterday that the fundamental machlokes had to do with what? The nature of the curtain setup in the second Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Akiva, second Beis HaMikdash has a double curtain, therefore you're exiting from the southern side, and therefore you're going to hit the southern side of the Mizbeach HaKitoris first. Rabbi Akiva said, but you have to clear the Mizbeach Biyotza Ela Mizbeach, and therefore again you go back to the corner that you passed up first, second. That makes sense, meaning because you can't pass over the southeast corner, you have to first do the southeast, then you'll go to the southwest. Versus according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, he holds that you're actually, there's only one curtain in the second Beis HaMikdash as well. You're exiting, therefore, on the northern side. And therefore, again, both agree you have to clear the Mizbeach. And therefore, you're beginning on the northeast corner. So the Gemara is suggesting that maybe there's another possibility for the Machlok. The other possibility is, Isvira Lon Hakofa Beregel. So the Gemara says, the Shaila is, Isvira Lon Hakofa Beregel. The Kuli Alma lo pligi the afinan pnim mechutz. So we'll say, listen to this. Perhaps the machlokes is whether or not we actually circle the Mizbeach HaKitores on foot, or rather we just go ahead and what the coin stands in one place and dabs the blood on each of the corners. Also remember, the surface of the Mizbeach HaKitores is only an amma, a little bit more than an amma. So the coin could very easily stand in place and dab the blood on all the respective corners. So the Gemara Seviva is saying, the other possibility is Isfir Alon HaKofa Beregel. If you hold, so the Machlokis will be whether or not you actually circle the Mizbeach on foot. The Kuli Amma Lo Plegi V'Afina Pnei Mechutz. Everybody agrees that we learn out pnim michutz, that we learn out ultimately the process for what goes on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash from the outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So rather, v'hacha b'hacha mefligi, here's what the machlokes is, mar savar hakofa biyad, umar savar hakofa beregel. But rather, what's the machlokes? Rabbi Akiva holds that you go ahead and you dab the blood on the Mizbeach by hand, meaning you do not go and actually walk around. You just simply stand in one place and you dab around on each corner, versus Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds that no, you actively go ahead and walk around. So the Gemara says, V'ibay same, another possibility is, de kuli alma, hakofa biyad. Second possibility is that, or actually now third possibility, is that everyone agrees that in fact, Hakafa biyad, that you stand in place and you actively dab the blood on each of the corners standing in place. V'ha'cha, v'ha'kum efligi, here's the machlokes. Mar sara yalfinan yad miregel, umar sara lo yalfinan yad miregel. And one opinion holds that we learn out yad from regel. We learn out the process of how you dab it by hand from the process of regel. And one says that you do not. And we'll say, what does that mean? What does that mean? If you take a look, actually, we'll see the Rashi's later. So what's the pshat over here? So what that means is just like we saw that by regel you will always go yamin, you'll always go right. So too by the yad, you would do the same thing as well. To which the Gemara says, but is that true? The Savra Yosei Lili Akafa Biyad. Rabbi Yosei, according to this Iboy Seima, what the Gemara is suggesting is that even Rabbi Yosei Haglili would agree that Lemaisa, you would go ahead and you would stand in place, but you would move your hand around the Mizbeach. Does Rabbi Yosei Haglili actually hold of that? Vaha Midiktoni Seifa. But yet, if you look at the end of the Brice, of the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, "Bimkomo haya omeid umechate." Going back to the Mishnah said that Rabbi Eliezer said that you stand in place and you go ahead and you dab the blood on all the corners of the mizbeach. Michlal de Tanakama lo sirin. Now Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara is making the assumption that the Tanakama of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosei Haglili, because the order of the directions as espoused in the Mishnah seems to reflect the view of Rabbi Yosei Haglili. So Rabbi Yosei says, now watch this. So the Mishnah, the Tanakama is Rabbi Yosei Haglili. Rabbi Eliezer was the only one in the Mishnah who suggested this idea of standing in place and dabbing the blood on all the corners of the Mizbeach. What could we infer from that? That the Tanakama does not hold of that particular process. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, Ela mechavarta kidishaninan meikara. Rather, the Gemara says it makes the most sense to go ahead and say, as we originally thought, mar savar hakafa biyad, umar savar hakafa beregel. So we'll say it would appear that lemaisa, the fundamental machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosei Haglili, is whether or not you go ahead and you circle the mizbeach with your hand, or you circle the Mizbeach with your foot. And depending ultimately on how you go ahead and go into that machlokes, then ultimately, again, that will determine the direction of the applications. Take a quick look at the top Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, V'bay seima isvir alon. Rashi says, the hakafa b'mizbeach ha'pinini beregali, ke hakafas techitzon, dechuli alma yafinon pinim mechutz le'inyon yamin. Now, just going back, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following, that the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yosei Haglili and Rabbi Akiva is whether or not you're going to go ahead and actually circle the Mizbeach, or you're going to apply the blood by hand. Now, I will say, what does that make a difference? If you're going to circle the Mizbeach on foot, then everyone's going to agree that the circling of the inner Mizbeach will resemble the circling of the outer Mizbeach. And just like the circling of the outer Mizbeach was done in a rightward motion, so too the circling of the inner Mizbeach will as well. That seems to be the opinion of Rabbi Yosei Haglili. And that's why Rabbi Yosei Haglili says, you begin on the northeast corner, and you're going to go ahead and make your, you're going to, sorry, you're standing in front of the Mizbeach. The first thing you're going to do is start with the northeast corner, which is to your right, and then you're going to go around like that. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who says that you are not circling the Mizbeach by foot, you're circling the Mizbeach just with your hand, and therefore, again, just be careful with the... Therefore, Rabbi Akiva will say that you'll start with your hand and actually you're going to go in the leftward motion. Okay, that's what the Gemara is assuming is the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosei Haglili at this point. V'boy seima, another possibility is, v'hakam mifligi, mar savar saviv dimizbeach penimi, ki saviv dimizbeach achitzon. The Gemara now gives another suggestion. Maybe the machlokes is that one opinion holds that saviv, the circling of the inner Mizbeach, is like the circling of the outer Mizbeach. Umar Sabar Kule Mizbeach Pnimi Bimakom Chada Karen de Mizbeach Chitzon Koi. So we'll say the other possibility, which seems to resemble the first possibility, is that the circling of the inner Mizbeach is like the circling of the outer Mizbeach. Namely, what Rabbi Yosei, just like the circling of the outer Mizbeach is done by foot, so too, again, the circling of the inner Mizbeach is done by foot. Whereas the other opinion says, no, that doesn't make sense. Why? Because we're all saying the entire size of the inner Mizbeach is the size of one of the corners of the outer Mizbeach. Remember, the kronos, the corners of the outer Mizbeach, were one amma by one amma, which is the size of the Mizbeach HaPanini, the size of the inner Mizbeach. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shmo. So we'll say, so Rabbi Shmo says the following. Shnei Kohanim Gidolim Nishtar B'Mikdash Rishon. So there were two Kohanim Gidolim who were left over from the first Temple. And I will say this is a machlokes, interestingly enough, about whether or not this actually refers to Mikdash Rishon or Mikdash Sheni. The Gra has the version ultimately that we have over here of the Gemara of Rishon, but others have the version of Mikdash Sheni. Okay, just you keep that in mind. So listen to this. So as I said, what's always interesting about these machloksim is, you know, these are not technical machloksim in halacha. So, you know, what do they do? What do they actually do in the Beis Hamikdash? So this is quite interesting. The Gemara Rabbi Shmuel says, you know, we interviewed two Kohanim Gedolim. Rishon, right? Where I'm sorry, Ze Omer Biyadi Hakafti, Ze Omer Barakli Hakafti. This is amazing. Mm. So one of them said, I applied the blood with my hand, standing in place, and one of them said, I actually circled the Mizbeach on foot. Ze No Saint Tan LeDvarov, Ze No Saint Tan LeDvarov. This one gave reasoning for what he did, and this one gave reasoning for what he did. Ze No Saint Tan LeDvarov. The one who circled the actual Mizbeach on foot said, you know what, I did that because, again, what you do with the inner Mizbeach resembles what you do with the outer Mizbeach. And just like the outer Mizbeach is circled by foot, so too the inner Mizbeach is circled by foot. And the other one gave reasoning. His reasoning why? Well, the entire inner Mizbeach is like the size of one of the horns of the outer Mizbeach, and therefore what? You need not go ahead and actively circle it on foot. You just have to circle it with your hand. So this is quite dramatic, because here you have two Kohanim Gedolim giving two different forms of testimony, and it could very well be that what the Gemara is saying is, this was a fundamental machlokes. And depending on who the Kohen Gadol was, and depending who his Rebbe was, it depended how the Avodah was done, which is exceptionally dramatic. So you should just know, the Rambam Paskins, that in fact, the Mizbeach was circled. First of all, two things. The Rambam Paskins, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so which is picture 141. So you're starting with the northeast corner to northwest to southwest to southeast. That's number one. And that's Rambam actually paskins that independent of the curtain setup in the second base of Middash for reasons that we'll discuss. But Rambam also paskins that Lemaisa, again, the Kohen Gadol actually walked on foot around the Mizbeach HaPanimi. He did not stand in one place and dab the blood. He actually walked on foot. Says the Gemara Bait. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bimkoma Hayo Omidu Mechadis. Remember again, Rabbi Eliezer said that the Kohen Gadol didn't move at all. But rather, again, he just stood in front of the Mizbeach, remember, facing westward, and he would apply the blood standing in place. So the Gemara says, Masnisi money. So whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah? Rabbi Hudihi. That's Rabbi Huda's version of Rabbi Eliezer. The Sanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mimkoma Omet, Omechate. Rabbi Meir said that Rabbi Eliezer used to say that the Kohen Gadol would stand in place, and he would go ahead and apply the blood. Va'al kulan hayonose mimala lemata. And on all of the corners, Rabbi Osei, he would apply the blood. Mimala lemata. We spoke about this on Friday. Mimala lemata. He would go ahead and apply the blood again from top to down. So meaning he would start at the top of the corner and smear it down. Chutz me'osa sheba alachson. With one exception, the corner that was at his diagonal. Now Rabbi Osei, you'll say, But aren't there two corners of his diagonal? Remember again, depending on who you hold it, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, when we see that the Kohen Gadol is standing really in the front of the Mizbeach, he's not really standing directly in front. Remember, he's always standing a little bit to the corner. According to Rabbi Akiva, he's standing in the southern corner, so towards the southern corner. According to Rabbi Yosef, a little bit to the northern corner. So the corner that was diagonally away from him, shenosin mimata lamala. That one he would go ahead and what? He would go ahead and shmir it from starting from the top and going up. The Rebbe said the reason for that is why. Any time you see a switching of the order of the applications is for one reason, to keep his clothing clean. So there was a feeling, according to Rabbi Meir, or I should say Rabbi Meir's version of Rabbi Eliezer, that for the diagonal one, if he would start from the top and go down, it might cause him to have to lean in a little bit, and leaning in a little bit could cause him to get his clothes dirty already on the blood that was applied. But if you start already from the bottom, you could position your body a little bit better. You start from the bottom and you come up to the top. Rabbi Huda says no. Rabbi Eliezer Omer bin Koma Omeid. Rabbi, now again, Rabbi Osai, it's just machlokes Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir as to how the blood application is to what. Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda as to what Rabbi Eliezer said. So Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bim Koma Omer, he would stand in place. Umechate, and he would apply the blood. Va'akulan who knows saying mi lemata lemala. See, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Huda now reverses it, and on all of them he would place the blood starting from the bottom up. Mi lemata lemala. Chutz mizu shai selafana, with the exception of the corner that was right in front of him. Lefana mamish shenosei mi mala lemata. So once again, we spoke about this on Friday as well, that according to this version, remember, for the corner right in front of him, he wouldn't apply it up from the bottom up. Why? Because it was a concern that if he had his hand like this, the blood could easily trickle down and soil his clothing. So for the corner right in front of him, he begins from the top word, from the top, and he smears it down. In order that he not soil his clothing. So Rabosai, therefore, the version of Rabbi Eliezer, as recorded in the Mishnah, reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, says the Gemara writer. He's a mimenu al tiarosh shel mizbeach. So the Mishnah says that after he would finish applying the blood to the corners of the mizbeach, what would he do? He would apply it al tiharo shel mizbeach. Now tiaro, literally, no way we normally translate that as purity. But what does that mean b'pashto? So the Gemara says, my tiaro, what does that mean? Amar Rabba Barav Huna, Amar Rabba Barav Shila, palgei de mizbeach. It refers to actually, if you look at Rashi, Rabosai, Rashi says over here, "Apalgi de mizbech be'emtso gova koslo." It refers to halfway up the side of the wall, of the height of the mizbech. So apparently, the way the Gemara is first understanding it is, we applied the blood on the corners, and then we applied the blood halfway on the wall of the corners, right? So halfway up the height of the mizbech, we would apply blood there as well. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba Barav Shila." Apparently, there was a common expression for noon. People would say Taher Tihara, literally Taher Tihara, and that referred to midday. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Taher Tihara, Targum Shel Tzaharayim. This was like Aramaic for midday. Shehu Bechatzi Ayom. So just like Taher Tihara means midday, so too. Tohar or what the Mishnah called Taro Shel Mizbeach refers to midway up the height of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says the following: Meisvei Yurei Zekasha Kishu Mazeh Eino Mazeh Lo Agabe HaEfer V'Lo Agabe HaGachol. So we'll say now the Brisa describes the sprinkling of the blood on what appears to be the top of the Mizbeach, and the Brisa says that when you sprinkle blood on the top of the Mizbeach, you should not sprinkle the blood on the ashes and not on the coals. Remember again, this was a Mizbeach HaKitores. The only thing burnt on there was incense. Mm. But obviously, to burn the incense, you have to have coals there. Mm. So if there were any coals or there was any ash, you don't sprinkle the blood on top of that. Rather, Elo chote gecholim eloch ve'eloch. You have to separate the coals, literally tihir and tihir, meaning split them onto the sides. Umaze, and you sprinkle the blood onto the top of the mizbeach. So I will say, what do you see from this brisa? That there's no sprinkling on the, or there's no smearing or sprinkling on the side of the mizbeach. Rather, where is sprinkling done? On the top of the mizbeach itself. Ella, Amar Rav Barav Shila, first wide line, al giluya de mizbeach. No. You know what tiharosh mizbeach means? Tiharosh mizbeach means the exposed top of the mizbeach. Kidichsiv, as the pasuk says, Ukeetzem hashomayim latohar. So we'll say we'll see this again by Matan Torah in just a little bit. That the Torah says that during the Sinaitic revelation, literally the keetzem hashomayim latohar, that what they saw by Kadosh Baruch Hu was like the clarity of the heavens. So tohar means clarity. So they call the top of the mizbeach without anything on it tohar, the clarity of the mizbeach. So we'll say what the Mishnah is actually saying, bless you, is after you finished applying the blood on the corners, you would then apply the blood, bless you, on the actual surface of the Mizbeach itself. Tanya, Chanan Yomer, Bitsat Sifoni Hunosin. So we'll say, now you have a little bit of machlokis as to where exactly on the top of the Mizbeach itself the blood was applied. So Chananya says that he would apply it on the northern side. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Chananya Omer, Bitsat Sifoni Hayanosin. Kol sheva hazos, all seven applications. Chananya sabra pesach teparoches pidaro, v'chinofik b'ma'arovis diromis paga, v'hasam lo yohiv bereisha chitui dikronos kidarminan adinofik l'mizrachis diromis, v'yohiv v'hadro l'ma'arovis diromis l'smol, mishum devaha ichai bereisha kidarminan la'el, or mishum l'ma'arovis sefaron. So it's like, let me show you this interestingly enough. If you take a look at picture 140 again. So also what the Gemara is suggesting is the following, that according to Hananya, so Hananya said the following, that essentially you would end up, you the entranceway, the exit of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on the south side. And therefore, using this logic, he says the following, In Hananya's model, it's more like what we saw in Rabbi Akiva. You would begin ultimately with your southeast application, because if you would exit from the southern side, you begin with your southeast application, and you would go ahead and then make your way around the Mizbeach, southeast, southwest, northeast, northwest, northeast. So you would wind up ultimately on the northern side of the Mizbeach. According to Hananya, where would the Kohen Gadol do the blood applications for the top of the Mizbeach? Essentially where he ended up, meaning wherever you ended up after the blood applications on the corners, that's where you did the blood applications on the top. So according to Hananya, the Kohen is ending up pretty much on the northern side, and therefore again, Lamaisa, the blood applications on the top of the Mizbeach would be done on the northern side. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, Bitzad Dromi hu nosein. Rabbi Yossi says that he would go ahead and he would apply the blood on the southern side. And I will say, again, so I'm giving you, we're going to see this in the Gemara in just a moment, but again, what's the logic behind that? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, apparently, again, he's coming out really on the northern side. He's coming out on the northern side, or he's starting on the northern side, working his way northeast, northwest, southwest, southeast, ending up on the southern side, and therefore the mice of the blood applications will be on the south side. So Mar says, but my coming, so I just told you the south side, I think I was going to say it. So what are they arguing about? Mar Savar Pischa B'Dorom Koi. So one opinion, i.e. Hananya holds, that the exit of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on the south side. And therefore the mice, you're going to begin the blood applications on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and you're going to end up on the north. And where you end up is where you apply the blood on the top of the Mizbeach. Umar Savar Rabbi Yossi holds, no, the exit of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on the north, and therefore the Maisa, you'll begin on the north side of the Mizbeach HaKadoros, end up on the south, and do the blood application there. To which the Gemara says, "Duchuli Alma, Miha Hecha Digamron Matanos Dikranos Hasam Yohiv Al Gago." But I will say again, one thing becomes clear. What do they agree on? They agree that wherever you finish the blood applications of the corners is where what? Is where you do the blood application on the top of the Mizbeach. My time, what's the meaning? Where do we get that from? How do you know that maybe you're supposed to just go back to the front of the Mizbeach? How do you know that you're supposed to do the blood applications on top from where you end up doing the blood applications on the corners? To which the Gemara says, Amakra, because the Pasuk says, V'tiharo v'kiddisho. Because the Pasuk says, Makom shekidshu, where you sanctified it, with the Gemara's understanding to me, the blood applications on the corners, sham there, tiharo. There, ultimately, you should apply the blood on the top of the Mizbeach. Fine. So what did the Mishnah say? The leftover bloods, and also remember, at this point in time, the leftover blood is the mixed together dam hapar and dam asar. So now you've done all your applications, right? I've done two sets inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, two sets outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the parochas, and applications on all the corners of the Mizbeach, and applications on the Mizbeach itself. Now that I'm finished with the blood, what do I do with it? The leftover blood, they would pour into the base onto the western base of the Aron Mizbeach. Also, remember again, if you look on picture 139, so the yisod you'll see are these, like, looks like holes, but they're really drains on the bottom corners of the Mizbeach. And they were drains, there were multiple drains on each corner. So this was poured into the southern drain. Western drain. The Amarkra, because the Pasuk says, Ves kol dam apar yishboch. Because the Pasuk says, you will take all the damapar and you will go ahead and you will pour it out. Then I will say, just skipped over here. Damakra, ves kol damapar yishboch, v'chinofik, and when you go out, ultimately of the heichal, bahu paga resha. This would be the drain that you would hit first. So we'll say what the Gemara thing over here is, why in the western drain? Because when you were exiting the Heichal, again, this would be the drain, essentially, that you would encounter first upon exiting. So therefore, the mice, again, that's the one you pour it down. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. But again, for, let's say, animal sacrifices that were given on the outer Mizbeach, leftover blood was poured in the southern drain. Tan Rabbanon, the pasuk says, Yisod HaMizbeach. So we'll say the pasuk over here. Torah says, V'lakach HaKoyin Midama Be'etzpa'o V'nasan Al Karnos Mizbacho. This is not talking about Yom Kippur. This is talking about Stam Karbanos. The Kohen will take with his finger. He will place it on the corners of the Mizbeach HaOlah, and then all the rest of the blood he will pour down the Yisod. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon Yisod HaMizbeach. What does it mean when it says you pour it down the Yisod? Zeh Yisod Duromis. The Gemara says this refers to the southern drain. And I will say, now what's interesting about that is what? The Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk just says that it's the Yisod. Remember, this is not Yom Kippur now. This is just Stam Karbanos. So Gemara says, Ata Omer Yisod Duromis or Eino Ela Yisod Ma'arabis. How do you know that it refers to the southern drain? Maybe it's the western drain, like we were saying before by Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Amrit Yilame Yiridasa Mina Kevesh. The Yiridasa Mina Hechel. So we compare the descending from the ramp of the Mizbeach to the exiting of the Heichal. Ma yitzi aso min haHeichal b'samuchlo. Rabbi will say, just like on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen has to pour out the remaining blood, he pours it down the western drain. Why? Because that's the closest one to him when he comes out of the Heichal. So too. excuse me. Ve'eza ze yisod ma'arabi, and that refers to the western drain. So too, when the Kohen finishes the avoda on the mizbeach and he comes off the mizbeach, what's the closest drain? B'samachlo, he pours the remaining blood down his closest drain. Ve'eza, and what is that? Zeyisod deromi. That refers to the southern drain. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Zev Zeyisod Ma'arabi. Shmuel says no. Both Yom Kippur as well as general karbanos leftover blood is always poured down the western drain. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Yochai says Zev Zey. Yisod Duromi. Rabbi Shimon Yechai says, no, both are poured down the southern drain. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel Kasover Yilamit Sasumi Mafuresh. Now we'll say, Rabbi Shmuel makes sense. Why does Rabbi Shmuel make sense? Because we'll say, here's what we have. By Yom Kippur, we know that it's poured down the western drain. So Rabbi Shmuel will essentially say, that's what? Now, by Yom Kippur, I know which drain I'm supposed to use, but yet by Shar Karbanos, I don't. So Rabbi Shmuel will say, learn out Shar Karbanos from Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is explicitly stated that it has to be the western drain. So everything goes down the western drain. So why does he hold that everything goes down the southern drain? Oh, listen to this, Rabbi Osai. Oh, Osai, if you remember again, we had some beautiful gemaras about the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. Those were some of our first... That's what prompted our legal size copies of the Beis HaMikdash right now. If you remember again, there's a fundamental machlokes as to the positioning of the Mizbeach. I mean, if you take a look at your Beis HaMikdash picture for just a moment, so this picture over here, if you look, pretty much has the Mizbeach pretty much opposite the entranceway to the Heichal, right? It's pretty much lined up with the entrance of the Heichal. So Rabbi Osai, there is an opinion, namely, of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who holds that the Mizbeach was actually a little bit more southernward. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting about that is, if you hold that the Mizbeach was a little bit more southernward, then really the drain that you actually first encountered when you exited the Beis HaMikdash was what? Was the southern drain. So Rabbi Osai, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, interestingly enough, both for Yom Kippur as well as for Shar Yimos HaShana, they would always use the southern drain. Because remember, Rabbi Osai, here's what everybody agrees with. Everybody agrees that Lamaisa on Yom Kippur, when exiting the Beis HaMikdash, we want the Kohen to pour the blood down the closest drain. Bless you. The Shaila is what's the closest drain, and that will depend ultimately on the positioning of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, this is very interesting as well. Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, B'Debe Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught about the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Zeh v'zeh yisod diromis. So I will say, what's very interesting is the following, that apparently, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they began to teach the teaching of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that said both bloods were drained down the southern drain. V'simonech, and the simon is, Mashchua Gavri LeGavra. these men overtook those men. So we'll say apparently at some point in time, everybody seemed to adopt the opinion of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and everybody agreed that the bloods, both the bloods of Yom Kippur, as well as the bloods ultimately of Shaar Kaparos, were poured down the southern drain. Elu v'elu misarvin ba'amaviyot. You're supposed to remember how the Mishnah ended. The bloods would all go into one canal, and they would go ahead and drain into the Kidron Valley. And when they got into the Kidron Valley, the farmers would go ahead and purchase this blood, this mix, and this was all kinds of mixtures of blood for usage as fertilizer. But remember, again, they had to go ahead and purchase it. Why? Because it was Kodesh, because it was sanctified. Sanctified as such, if you would use it without purchasing, again, it would be inappropriate use with sacrificial material, mi'ilah, and therefore what they had to do is they had to buy it. When you buy it, ultimately, again, it transfers the sanctity onto the money, and the blood becomes usable even as fertilizer. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Mo'alin bedamim div Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, an interesting machlokes, can you commit mi'ila with blood? Is there such a thing as, remember, mi'ila means mundane use of sanctified items. Is there a concept of mi'ila when it comes to blood? So the Rabbi Meir says, yes. Rabbi Shimon Racham Omrim, ain mo'alin bahem. Rabbi Shimon Racham say, no, there is no mi'ila with blood. Ad, Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Ad kan lo pligi ela midrabanan. So we'll say, watch this. So the Gemara now says the following. So now the Gemara is suggesting is the machlok. So here we have fundamental machlokes. You have on one hand, Rabbi Meir is saying that there is mi'ila with blood, and Rabbi Shimon and the Chacham say there is no mi'ila with blood. Ad kan lo pligi ela midrabanan. Now look at Rashi. What does that mean? The machlokes is only midrabanan, meaning man do amr mo'al. I'm looking at the Rashi left hand side. The man do amr, who is Rabbi Meir, who says that there is mi'ila with blood, only says Madar Amol and Midrabana Kamar Lishalim Karen Aval Midorais Losef Chomoshlav. So it's very interesting. If you go ahead and inadvertently use something that is hektish, so what do you have to do? You obviously have to repay the principal, but in addition to that, there is a penalty payment of a chomesh, of a fifth. So the Gemara suggesting over here is the following. Even Rabbi Meir, who holds that there is a concept of mi'ila by damim, by blood, only holds it to be mi'ila d'rabbanan. What's the chilik between mi'ila d'rabbanan and mi'ila d'oraisa? Mi'ila d'rabbanan only requires you to pay back principal, doesn't require you to pay back the additional fifth. So according to Rabbi Meir, if I were to go ahead and use that blood that flows into the Kidron Valley, and I didn't pay the Beis HaMikdash for it, I'd have to pay the principal, the actual amount of the value, but I would not have to add on an additional fifth. So the Aval Midor, right back to the Gemara, Aval Midoraisa, a more than one. But apparently everybody agrees that Midoraisa, there is no Me'ila by blood. There is no Me'ila by blood. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili. Now how do we know that? Why shouldn't there be Me'ila with blood? So the Gemara says, Amr Ula, Amr Kra, Lochem, Shalachem Yeh. So this is very interesting. So also the Torah says the following. Ki nefesh habasra b'dami. Then, right, the soul of the flesh is in the blood. Va'anina sativ lochem ala mizbech lechaper al nafsho seichem. Ki adam b'nefesh lechaper. Because so I've given it to you to go on to the mizbeach, to be mechaper, ultimately to atone. So the Gemara is dashing over here. It says lochem. It says lochem. It says the blood will be for you. Shalachem Yeh. So apparently also what the Gemara is really saying is like this. Mm-hmm. Is that lemaisa, once you've done what you're supposed to do with the blood, then what? Then lemaisa again, it's lochem. It's for you. And therefore, midoraisa is not subject to mi'ila. The Rabbanon imposed a mi'ila penalty on it. Fine. Debei Rabbi Shimon Tana. So in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shimon, they said the following. Lechaper. So I will say, again, everybody's trying to answer the same question, which is, now we've established is, even though it's a machlok, it's Rabbi Meir. On one hand, and Rabbi Shimon Nacham on the other hand, Rabbi Meir saying there is Me'ila, Rabbi Shimon Nacham saying there is no Me'ila by Damim. Everybody's agreeing that Midoraisa there's no Me'ila. Rabbi Meir just holds Midorabanan there is. So the Shaila now is we're trying to understand why Midoraisa is there no Me'ila by Damim. So first opinion is Lachem, because the Pasuk itself uses this word of it's yours. So meaning that therefore the Torah gives me the right of usage over the blood Midoraisa, and therefore no Me'ila Midoraisa. Second opinion, Rabbi Shimon says Lechaper. To atone for lekapara nasativ velo lemeila is an interesting drasha that I've given you the blood for kapara. I've given you the blood to use for atonement, but I have not given it to you to be subject to the laws of meila. It's an interesting drasha. Look at Rashi lochem va'anina sativ lochem. Okay, fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar Kra, who? Who? So the Gemara says here, he's quoting same pasuk as we quoted before. Same pasuk as we quoted before. Ki hadam hu banefesh yichaper. So what does that mean? Who? Lifnei kapara, kila achra kapara. So also, the Gemara makes this kind of drasha a number of places. Who the lashon that the Gemara often uses is bahav yasanu, that ultimately who means that the item remains in a constant state. What does that mean? Who lifnei kapara, kila achra kapara. Blood is the same way, just like it is before the atonement, is the same way that it is after the atonement. What does that mean? Mala achar kapara ein bo meila. Just like after the atonement is done, it's not subject to the meila. Aflifnei kapara ein bo meila. So too before kapara. So too before kapara, there's no meila. As I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Mala achar kapara ein bo meila. Just like after the kapara, we'll say kapara is when. After you apply the blood on the Mizbeach. That's called after Kapara. Just like after Kapara, there's no Me'ila. So to lifnei Kapara, before Kapara, there's no Me'ila either. Look at Rashi. Who? Ki Adam hu b'nefesh yichaber. Hu ka'av yoso. Hu ka'av yoso lifnei Kapara. Ki la'achar Kapara. Meaning, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the blood remains in a constant state. What does that mean? V'la'achar Kapara in bo Me'ila. Dechevan dinasis mitzvaso su lo karinan be kodshe Hashem. So the Gemara is suggesting that just like after the kapara, after the blood was used for sacrificial purposes, there is no longer any issue of me'ila. So too, before the kapara, there's also no me'ila. I will say now what this predicate, right, Rashi points out over here, so what this is predicated on is the idea that after the kapara is done, meaning after you've applied the blood of the Mizbeach, the blood has served its purpose. Once it served its purpose, then what? Then what? Then it's no longer subject to Mi'ila because essentially it's no longer considered to be a consecrated item. Now, what the Gemara does is take that one step further, that it says, use the Lashon of who. Who essentially means a state of consistency, a state of continuity, halachic continuity. So who says status of blood remains unchanged throughout? Now, what does that mean? What the Gemara is going to suggest what that means is just like after Kapara, there's no Me'ila. Why? Because the blood has already served its purpose. So who says what? Who teaches me that just like blood post Kapara is not subject to Me'ila, therefore what? Blood pre Kapara is also not subject to Me'ila.
Aren't we trying to prove its status after?
Correct. But the Gemara is just giving, again, the Gemara is just giving a number of drashos. They all prove the same thing, which is that blood after the Kapara is not subject to Me'ila. This is just taking it a step further. Just saying it's not just subject. It's not just exempt from Me'ila post kapara, but also pre kapara as well. But it all proves the same exact point, which is midoraisa. There's no Me'ila by dam. So the Gemara says af lifnei kapara ein bo Me'ila. I see. The Gemara says, well, I could reverse that drasha. Ve'ema la'achar kapara ki lifnei kapara. But I could reverse that drasha. I could say, well, why don't you compare post kapara to pre kapara? Malif ne kapara yesh bo me'ila, afla acher kapara yesh bo me'ila. So the Gemara says, I can very easily reverse that drasha. How could I reverse that drasha? I could say, just like before kapara, there is me'ila, so to after kapara, there should be me'ila as well. To which the Gemara says, Ein lecha davar shenasis mitzvaso umolin bo. To which the Gemara says, that's impossible. Now, here the Gemara finally shows its hand. And the Gemara says, what's driving this whole thing? Meaning, where can you, because if you think about it, by the way, the drushos that the Gemaras were making are interesting drushos. Because the fact that it says lochem, again, even that lochem is mentioned in the context of kapara, of applying the blood of the mizbech. So it's interesting that the Gemara is going to darshan that ultimately, again, lochem could actually mean that it's not subject to mila, that you could use it for yourself. Who we already see is a shaky drasha. Because ultimately, again, that could go either way. See, the Gemara was originally saying who means just like after Kapara, there's no Me'ila. So to before Kapara, there's no Me'ila. Well, the Gemara just flipped it on and said, you could say easily, just like before Kapara, there is Me'ila. So to after Kapara, there should be Me'ila. So really what it comes down to is like this. The whole thing that's driving this discussion is that once a particular sacrificial item serves its purpose, it should no longer be subject to Me'ila. That's what's driving this. What's the whole concept of Mi'ila? Means inappropriate usage or mundane usage of a sanctified or sacrificial item. Once it served its purpose, it should lose its designation. That's the Gemara saying over here. Ein lecha davar shena'asis mitzvasu umolin bo. There's no such thing as something that has been used for its designated sacrificial purpose and is associated to the laws of Mi'ila. To which the Gemara says, really? Velo? Vahare trumas hadeshen. What about Trumas HaDeshen? So I say, look at Rashi. By Trumas HaDeshen, he says, Dichsiv bo, v'samo, etzel ha-mizbeach. So I say, remember, what does the Torah say? Remember, what is Trumas HaDeshen? Trumas HaDeshen, where is that ash from? That ash is from all of the Evarim and Pedarim, all of the leftover fats and limbs that were burned throughout the night. So what happens? In the morning, you have a huge pile of ash. So remember, what's the avodah of Trumas HaDeshen? Remember, I want to be clear, there are two avodas over here. There's the removal of the ash and there's Trumas HaDeshen. Removal of the ash we saw is only the kohen takes a very small amount of ash and deposits it on the floor by the side of the Mizbeach. Remember, one of the miracles of the Beis Hamikdash was what? That the floor swallowed up the ash. So there was only, then there was a whole other piece, which was what? Somebody actually had to take out the garbage. That was an avodah. Somebody actually has to take out the garbage. So there's a whole bunch of ash that you have to actually take out. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Look at Rashi. Dichsev bo v'samo etzal mizbeach teton gniza. Alma asra b'ana. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the ash couldn't just be thrown out. The ash actually had to be put in gniza. They put in Sheamus. There was a special place where they used to deposit the ash outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we'll say, here's what's interesting. Why don't you say it's ash? It's ash. It's the burnt, meaning the avodah has already been done. The karbonos have already been burnt. Yet, what do you see from here? The ash is still treated with holiness. Alma asrbana. What it means is that ash is still asrbana. You can't get benefit from it. The chayvin de ba'ana asr mishum kivdushaso. Why would ash be asrbana? It must be what? It must be that it still retains some level of sacrificial holiness. What do you see from here? Therefore, Me'ila Nami Ispe. So Mosai, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? You're building a whole argument based on a premise. And the premise is that once a particular item has been used for its designated sacrificial purpose, it should no longer be subject to the laws of Me'ila. The Gemara is going to say, Trumas HaDeshen proves that assertion is wrong. Because Trumas HaDeshen is ash, it's already served its sacrificial purpose, yet what? It is still subject to Mi'ilah. So therefore, Rabosai, the Gemara still is left with the question of how do we know that dam? How do we know? Because remember, Rabosai, going back, the machlokis, the way the Gemara established between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, he's only mid Rabbanon. But mid the Oraisa, the Gemara still seems to take it for granted that blood is not subject to Mi'ilah. I know, I apologize, I'm going to leave you with this cliffhanger. I hope you could go on with the rest of your day. I don't want to paralyze anyone. But I promise you, put your mind at rest. We will, Amir Tashem, resolve it tomorrow morning.
Wonderful.
What condition doesn't affect the Quran?